I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Abuobiso will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for tonight and thank you for the opportunity to share the word of God. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We pray for the help of the Holy Spirit in teaching, in sharing, in going through the scriptures, in going through this amazing book, and in going through the word of God. We pray also, Lord, that you will guide our hearing of the word in the name of Jesus. May we hear the things you want us to hear, not the things I want to say, but what you want us to hear, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Bless our time in the word and everyone who is watching, attending, and participating in this service tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Okay. Please come on the video so I can see you. Whatever you're doing, even if you're driving, you just turn it on and I will be looking at you, but you don't look at me. Okay. Just concentrate on your driving, but I just need someone to look at. Okay.
Amen.
That way, I'm not preaching to the walls, because walls are really hard to preach to. They don't respond. They don't do anything. They just stare at you with white faces, you know, just white wall like that. It's not nice. Okay, so I want you to participate. Now, we've been talking about various types of accusation, and that is from chapter number 6 of this book, Those Who Accuse You, Those Who Accuse You There. Chapter number 6, we've been talking about various types of accusations. Last week, we went through about 4 or 5 of them. Number 1 was accusations by direct allegations, you know, direct allegations. And the example of that is the man that Jesus told us about, whose master had given him a talent, and he came back, the master came back asking about the talent, and the man told him, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. You know, sometimes it's really hard to deal with someone who has a mind about you. He has a certain mind about you. They have already put you in a box and they feel that they can predict your behavior. They feel they know, they understand your every move. And when you're with such people, you can't, you know, be a blessing. You can't help them, especially when they think that you are the cause of their problem. You know, Dr. Mike Murdoch said that you can't help. I think he said 3 people. One of them is one who will not accept the Bible solution to their problem. Then the other one is one who thinks you are their problem. You can't often help such people. The third one, I don't remember, but at least I remember these 2, you know. So it's important that we do not develop a certain mind about people and give people a chance to, you know, grow and to develop and to change and eventually be a blessing. A lot of people who might not be a blessing or may not seem like they are a blessing today will be a blessing later on. You know,
that's right.
People are like trees. you know, and sometimes their fruit takes time to be born, do you see? So you plant a tree, and sometimes the tree is standing there just around you, and it just seems to consume and consume and consume. But there comes a day when it starts yielding its fruit. And when it comes, you don't even have enough baskets to carry that.
Right.
And so we must be patient with people while God takes them through the processes. Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Two, accusations by criticism. Accusations by... And we shared the example of this one was, I think it was Moses and his siblings, Moses, Miriam, and Aaron, and how that they criticized Moses, their brother. Okay. Now, it's important for us not to criticize people, or not to criticize, you know, people, especially the church. We must be careful not to criticize men of God and people that God is using, especially when God seems still to be using the person in spite of their faults and in spite of our message to us that that's not what God is looking at for some reason. You see, yes, and we ought to be careful, you know, otherwise we call God a fool for using such a person. Do you see? And so we must be careful, you know, not to criticize people, you see, and be careful not to do that. Sometimes people say that, oh, well, I'm just criticizing. It's just constructive. Most criticism is actually destructive, you see. And the difference between that which is constructive, that helps to build, and the one that is destructive is, number one, who is saying it? Who is saying it? Because, you see, you must qualify to say what you're saying, you know. And then number two is who they're saying it to. That is, which is that the person you're saying it to must be someone who can do something about it. So if you're just blurbing things around and going around and just and going on, you're not helping anything or anyone, even if you think you're doing so. You're just discouraging people. You're just embarrassing people. You're just destroying people's reputation. And don't forget, the Bible says, whatsoever a man soweth, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So it's a very important thing, and nobody needs to curse you or pray that you reap those things. God has already put these things in place before we got here, that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So we need to be very, very careful that we don't find ourselves having to reap the things we are sowing. You know, we must be understanding of people, and we must pray more for people. We must understand. Last week I was sharing with you how that we are not a bunch of, you know, perfect people who are trying not to do wrong. Our default setting is that we are faulty, flawed people who make mistakes all the time, rather trying to do good, right? So when we do good, that is the achievement. We have really tried. When we do something and it's working a little bit, do you see? Right? And when we do wrong, we're just being ourselves, you know, and that should not be announced. When we are just being ourselves, that doesn't have to be a headliner, do you see? Because that's how we are. If you leave all people, they will end up just doing wrong. So I want to encourage us to rather pray for people. Pray for people. Instead of talking negatively about people or gossiping about people, pray for them. You see, instead of talking at this level, just go up like that with the matter and pray about it. And I believe it will be a great help to those people. The pastors, church leaders, churches, all those kinds of people that we criticize, we can pray for them instead, and it will be a blessing. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
All right. The next one is murmuring, number three. That's when you talk undertone, right? No one knows you're saying it, but you're saying it. Okay. And then number four is accusations by being present. Accusations by being present, coming, showing up quietly. Even when you're present without saying anything, you can accuse people. You see, yeah. And I think I gave you the example of the people in the store. Sometimes you enter a store and you have these people just coming around and walking around you because they're already suspicious of you, you know. And as you're turning things around, you know, sometimes they even suggest that you pick some other things or go to another section instead, because they look at you and they just think you can't afford these things here and you're just wasting their time. It's just an accusation, do you see? So you have that too. Now, in Job chapter 1 and verse 6, we read about how there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And it says, and Satan came also among them. Satan came also among them, right? Satan came also among them. Now, if you jump to verse 8, it says, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse you to, it says, he will curse thee to thy face, right? Now, what I want you to notice in this passage is that they compare their interests in the same person. You know, what does God see in Job versus what does Satan see in Job? Do you see? What does God see in Job? What did God say? God said, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every and his substance is increased in the land? Now, first of all, we get a hint here what blessings come to people who serve the Lord the way Job is serving God. And the Bible says, I mean, Satan is the one giving us this announcement. Satan is the one giving us this report. He's saying that God has blessed and blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. I mean, if the devil says these kinds of things about anybody, you better believe those things are true. You get it? I mean, when the thief comes to announce what's in the house, you better know that he's really telling the truth, that these things are the case. They are the blessings that Job had received from the Lord, you know, as he has served him. But then when you go to verse 9, you see God is looking at Job and God is calling him a perfect and an upright man who fears God. And then Satan is, he has criticisms about what God is looking at. So God and Satan are looking at the same person, but their report is different. Do you see?
True.
Yes, the interest is different. If God is just looking at how he's serving him, and God says there's nobody like him, and so on, I mean, and Satan says no, no, no. Satan is saying that this man does not really love God. This man is a fake Christian. This one is doing it just because of what he's getting from what he's doing, you know? And he goes on and on and on and on. I just want you to see how two persons, God and Satan, discuss the same person. And God's eyes can only see good in the person. And satanic eyes can only see evil in the same person. So it is very possible that someone that you put up to criticize and say many negative things about is perfectly accepted by God. It is very possible that God would like someone that you see so many faults and so many things wrong about. You know, there are some people who just can't stand, you know, they just can't stand someone or stand to hear compliments about someone, someone being complimented. They just immediately react negatively. So that, and we can see who does that. Do you see? We can see who is doing that in the story, and therefore who inspires that. You tell someone, you just see someone, this person is looking good in their dress, you know, and then suddenly you say, oh no, she doesn't look good in red, you know. Maybe if that had been purple, it would look better. But the dress is too short, or it's too this, or it's too that. I mean, you can only see negative things about the person, and often it's inspired by jealousy. It's inspired by jealousy. It just pains people that another person would prosper, or that another person would flourish, or that another person will occupy the limelight, or the other person would be the center of attention. It just, some people just can't stand it. So they have to degrade the person. They have to say negative things about the person. Well, I mean, you meet some, I've seen many people, you hear them saying very positive things about our church, about our pastor, and so on. And then you hear this one person who hears all that, just drop in some toxic comments just to, you know, make the whole environment and the whole atmosphere very sour, and just to change everything, because it just pains them that something positive is being said. Well, tonight I'm showing you who inspires that attitude. You see, yeah, I'm showing you who's inspiring that attitude. Satan could have agreed with God. You know, he could have, after all, he acknowledged that Job is serving God. Do you see? He just said that he's serving God for a different reason. Now, God, who is being served by Job, who knows all hearts, is saying that Job is serving me and I like him. Did you see him? He's doing well. I like the way he hates evil and all that. Then Satan just comes in and says, huh, what are you talking about? This guy, he has an ulterior motive for what he's doing. Watch out for people who always accuse pastors of having ulterior motives for doing what they are doing. People who can only see negative things in what we are doing. People who think that we are in this business or serving the Lord. People who think that we are serving the Lord because we are receiving offerings and tithe. You should hear people talk and watch out for those things, because there is someone right here who inspires that kind of language and who makes people talk like that, you know, and it's just jealousy. Listen, when you hear or have a chance to pay someone a compliment, please do. Do you understand? It won't hurt. People can be beautiful without you having to be ugly.
Yeah.
Are you still there?
Yes.
I'm saying that people can be beautiful. Somebody can be beautiful without you having to be ugly.
That's right.
Yes.
Beautiful people. So if one says this person is beautiful, it doesn't mean that you are ugly.
Not at all.
So it should not stir up in you, you know, a desire to go dig out the negative things you know about the person and bring them out by all means just to reduce the beauty. God had paid a glowing tribute to Job. Then he wanted to pour something on it that this man is doing it because of what he's getting. Opportunist, this man, he takes advantage of situations. He's a pretender. He's serving you. He's pretending to be serving you. He's not one of your true servants. If you like, touch him and let's see. I am telling you, you don't know Job. This is what Satan is telling God. So watch out for people who come out to say, you don't know this person. You don't know this person. Someone is inspiring them to talk the way they are talking. And that person is the accuser of the brethren himself. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you?
Yes.
Watch out for that behavior. Learn to celebrate people. I tell you, when ones tend to be celebrated, learn to join that chorus and celebrate people. Because look, there's so much negativity in the world. There's so much bad news in the world. There's so many bad things people hear all the time. Not to mention the ones they tell themselves. Do you see? Yes, because themselves. You know, so as the person is walking, he's fighting his own demons and devils in his head, and he doesn't need extra from you. So if you can say something that will encourage someone, say that positive thing to encourage them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The reason why we have to encourage pastors is because Satan knows that pastors are the source of encouragement to God's people. So one of the common things pastors battle with discouragement, that the pastor himself is discouraged. That's very often. You can ask any pastor you know and they'll tell you that it's very common for pastors to be discouraged. It's very common for pastors to be depressed. It's very common for pastors to feel very low and down. Do you understand? It's a very common thing, you see. And if you're a pastor, you need to understand why you come under that attack often. It is because you are the source of it. When you are full of it, you become a source of it to others. And when people are strong and encouraged, we saw that verse, we didn't read that today, but Revelation 12 and verse 10 says, now is come salvation and strength. Do you see? Because the accuser is gone. So our strength comes from not being accused. Our strength comes from the accuser being shut up. And as long as people are strong, they will win their battles. As long as people are strong, they will win their battles. They will win the fights. They will win all the contests and the challenges that the enemy puts up. As long as people are strong, it says salvation and strength has come because the accuser of the brethren is not there. So if strength is what comes when the accuser of the brethren is taken out of the situation, then what the accuser of the brethren does is to keep his voice constantly rehearsed in the ears of people who will allow him, because it takes strength away. As he strength away. What is strength? Strength ranges from even the you get it? Through the courage to do something. The boldness, you see, the inspiration to rise up and do something, you know, all those things are strength. the encouragement to do it, you know, the know-how to do it, the faith to do it, the inspiration to do it, you know, all of, as well as the physical edge, you know. But of course, the internal things have to be there, and then they drive the external thing to rise up and do it. You see a discouraged person, sometimes you see a discouraged person, he doesn't even feel like getting out of bed. I mean, just to get off his bed and go to the bathroom is a big problem for him. And many times when people say, I'm sick, I don't feel well, and you ask them what is wrong with you, and they keep quiet. You ask them what is wrong with you, and they say, I don't know. It is this kind of sickness we are talking about. They feel so depleted inside of courage. They have no edge at all to get out of their beds, to rise up and to do something. They just feel flat. Anybody knows what I'm talking about? You're so quiet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is so true.
It's so true.
So true.
Yeah.
Very true.
You see someone looking at their phone, they see all the text messages, they don't feel like responding to any of them. Because even to type okay is a problem. Or just to type the alphabet K will accept it. They don't feel like anything. They don't feel like seeing the sun. They don't feel like seeing the moon. They don't feel like anything. Because they're just so discouraged. Just so discouraged. Something that didn't go well. People who are job hunting go to an interview. They answer all the questions. They tell the people, you know, whatever they know to tell them. And they come back home and the people tell them, you'll hear from us. They tell them, I mean, and they leave the interview feeling like the way it's going, you know. 5 p.m. It looks like I'm going to hear from them today. Not the next day. And this is about your 7th interview. So you see the next job, you don't even feel like applying for it.
No, not at all.
Yeah, you don't feel like applying for it. Because you kind of feel you can predict the outcome. Yeah. What makes this one different? Do you see?
Yeah.
So because so many people live like this all the time, the voice of a pastor, the voice of the word of God, the voice of someone who carries the message of God, the voice of the messenger of God is vital to such people. It gives life to such people.
Amen.
Yes. And because the enemy knows that such people exist, and these are the people pastors minister to, he always sends a barrage of accusations in the direction of the pastor himself. So that the pastor himself is now the one feeling that way.
I see.
And of course, if he doesn't have it in himself, how is he going to give it to you? You see. So it is important every pastor, every leader must understand how these things work and fight the enemy when it comes to that. And we can help. And I'm saying the accusers will always be there. Just don't join them. There are enough accusers out there. Leave them alone. Let them do the accusing job all by themselves. But you, if you open your mouth, be one of those encouragers.
Amen.
Be one of those exhorters. Be one of those people who have uplifting words to speak. Be one of those who sound like God in the book of Job. You see, I'm sure if Job had heard God saying these things, man, he would have been so encouraged.
Yeah.
Wow. Is that how God feels about me? Oh, wow. Yeah, he would be so encouraged. And he would do it more.
More.
But can you imagine how Job would feel if he had Satan saying all these things about him? If Job had someone saying about him, someone that had been talking to another person about him, saying that he has ulterior motives for going to church. He's going to church because he wants a man or a boyfriend, or he's going to church because he wants a job. He's going to church because of the offerings. She's going to church because of the guys in the church. She's going to church because she's in love with the pastor. All these stupid things people say all the time.
Ah, why is that?
When you hear them, you don't even feel like going to the church anymore. Because you kind of want to prove that's not why you're going there, and that you don't need to go there. And it's one of the effects of accusation. Do you see? It makes you stop even doing the good thing that you're doing. But I think that God is delivering us from accusation in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right. Then the next one is accusations by being absent, you know, not showing up. Many times when people don't show up, it has implications. That's why you need to try your very best to show up at places where you are expected, either because of the role you play there or simply because you're part of them. You're a known member and a part of them. Are you getting it? So many times your absence, even at church, it speaks. You see what I'm saying? Even your absence on the video, it speaks. Your absence. Why would you come to church?
That's right.
I'm sure there are a couple of good reasons. Well, it's just their staff. I will not be seen by you, too bad. Do you see? Yeah. But your absence where you're expected, it speaks always. You see? And that is because many people have a reason why they will not show up where they're expected to show up. Do you see? Yeah. And that's why David asked Mephibosheth in 2 Samuel chapter 19 and verse 25. When David had gone out of town because his son Absalom had been chasing him, Mephibosheth didn't come along. And so when David returned from exile, he asked him, why didn't you come with us? You know, why didn't you come with him? He got suspicious of him. You know, he gave it some explanation and so on. But David noticed his absence. He noticed that this person was not there at all. And that meant something to him. See, let me show you another group of people who didn't go to a meeting. Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16 from verse 12.
Preach.
Numbers chapter 16, verse 12. Now, it says, and Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, we will not come up. You see, he said, and they said, we will not come. We are not coming. We will not come up. So they were not going to come to the meeting. Now look at verse 13. Verse 13 says, and this is them speaking. He says, is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of a land that floweth with milk and honey, to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us? Do you see? And verse 14. Thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Will thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. Do you see? Do you think you can deceive us? We will not come up. Do you see? So you can. They didn't come. Do you get it? And it is the to the person who went to call them, that shows the reason why they had stayed away in the first place. You see, they were of accusations, you know, in their minds, including and there are many people who don't come to church sometimes because they feel we, the pastors, are deceiving them. You know, they may never say it to our faces. You may never say it. You may never tell anybody else is a deceiver. But it's just manifest by your absence. I will not come up, period. You've made yourself a prince over us. When we come to church, you say, stand up. Hands up, sit down, every standing, every prayer.
Like it.
Put the pillow down. Put the pillow down. Why? Thou hast made thyself a prince over us. You see, we will not come up.
Yes, Lord.
You know, and these are accusations in the minds of people. Do you see? These are accusations in the minds of people. And make it. Send a message. It's important to send a message. Send a message when you can make it to a meeting where you're expected, you know. And I believe that whoever the leader of the meeting is a reasonable person. They'll understand. I'm caught in traffic. And whatever the reason is, including I'm just flat out tired. Do you see? Mm. At least you are communicating. You're showing that the meeting is important. It's important to you. It's significant to you. You just can't make it for whatever reason. And that's fine. and it shows maturity. Do you see? Element, you see, because sometimes when people go for meetings and they don't see anybody, about one pastor who started a church, and there was a day when he went to church and nobody came at all. You can imagine the things the devil told him on that day. You know, he told, you see, I told you, you're not called. You're not good.
Mm-hmm.
You're not called. No, the people don't like your preaching. You shout too much. Preaching.
No, anointed.
Yes, you're not anointed. You're not anointed. You know, do you think you're bishop? Please stop faking this thing. You know, and the devil will just say all kinds of things just make sure that he never gets up to preach again. Mm. Thank God today that pastor is the pastor.
Amen.
The devil is defeated. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So number six, accusations by writing. Accusations by writing. That is putting the accusations in writing. Some people communicate better with written words. And so they like to use that medium to carry out their accusations. Ezra chapter 4 and verse 6. Ezra chapter 4 and verse 6. The Bible says, and in the reign of Ahasuerus, in the beginning of his reign, wrote they unto him in an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. An accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. It says, this is the main method of accusation employed by journalists. They write their stories with which misrepresent events and remarks of honorable men and accuse them of much evil. A government usually becomes the enemy of the press as journalists heap up one accusation after another. And many journalists are in search of a sensational story that will make the headlines. They need something spectacular that will make their newspapers sell. Unfortunately, honorable people fall victim to this quest for headline stories. Often, apologies for mistaken stories are small and insignificant. The damage is already done. The damage is already done. Right. And that's what happens. Things. Because somehow, when you write something down, there is a kind of authenticity that it acquires just by being written.
It's true.
You see, yes. Mm-hmm. It looks like it's real. It looks like it's powerful. It looks like it's true once it is written, you know. And people know this, and that is why they write all these stories. People, you see all kinds of stories from journalists, especially, you know, newspapers. Sometimes they misrepresent what the pastor said. I mean, our own prophet, Bishop, has often been a victim of the situation. They would take something he said, they would take the message in the middle, you know, and they will put it out. You know, yes, and they'll publish just that little bit and totally misrepresent what he said. And all these things have an aim. Remember, the one behind it is the accuser of the brethren. So he has an aim, you know, and you see an example of his aim here in Luke chapter 19 and verse 8. Zacharias was now repenting. Luke 19 and 8 from the King James Version, it says, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusations, I restore him fourfold." Right? Now notice how Zacchaeus people. He said, "If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation," because false accusation has the effect, is a tool by which people strip people of things that would otherwise come to them. So a pastor could be stripped of his members, for example. Most committed members, the people who have loved him, whom he has preached to for years and years and years. You see, yes, that relationship can be destroyed because of the things that were written. And unfortunately, once people see something that's written in a newspaper on just one day, it seems to be powerful enough to cancel years and years and years of preaching, faithful preaching, committed care, and all the love that has been shown them. Do you understand what I just said?
Yes.
Let me say it again. I'm saying that it seems that sometimes all that people need to hear is just one bad news report. And that one bad news report is able to shake the foundation of years of relationship. Years of love, years of care, years of good preaching that they have known and come to know and expect from whoever the person is. All it takes is just one bad story from one side to undo it all. And so you find some people sometimes leaving the church. You know, a couple of days ago, we were watching a video about a pastor who was explaining how I think his brother got into some drug dealing and so on. And, you know, he shares the same last name with the brother, of course. And so his name came in there in some way, you know, and he was talking about how his members left him because of that story. He said it wasn't anything to do with him. It had to do with his brother. And his brother had, you know, told the people that, look, I'm a good person. My brother is a preacher. You know, it's good for you to be a preacher because it adds some credentials to your siblings and their credibility, right? But anyway, his brother had gone to mention his name somewhere that, listen, my brother is a preacher. I don't lie. I don't tell lies. You know, you should ask my brother. He's a preacher, you know. And that thing that the brother said, next thing he knew, his name on the headlines, and the people were talking about him, you know, being involved with drugs and so on. He said he explained to his church members. That's what I want you to hear. He said, I explained to my members. He said, I begged them. I told them it's not true. I begged them. He said, hey, but they left me. They left. He has known and loved and cared for years. All it was. So I'm sharing these things with you because I need your roots to go deeper.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It should take more than one wind to break you off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It should take more than one story whose origin you can't even verify.
Fake news.
Yes. You seem to believe there are people, you don't be with their pastors for years, but they seem to believe anything from an outsider is more credible than everything they have known with and for the pastor, from the pastor all these years. Mm-hmm. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yes.
That is yes. One of the principles of loyalty is that loyalty demands full persuasion.
Persuasion.
Yes. By this, if you've been coming to this church for some time, you should be persuaded. Mm-hmm. And if you're not fully persuaded about us, just ask the remaining questions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Just call me, call any one of us, the pastors, and ask the remaining questions. But you must be fully persuaded in your heart. Do you see? About whom you're following and about the church family that you belong to. And you have to know that there are haters out there. You have to know there are accusers out there, that you shouldn't just believe every story. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes, you shouldn't just believe every story. And even if the story is true, it should take more than one story. It should take more than one mistake. It should take more than one bad story for you to leave us. Or what do you think?
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
It should take a bit more than that. It should take a bit more than one mistake for you to desert someone.
Yes.
Can you imagine it? Those of you who are married, can you imagine that you just one mistake you make and that's the end of everything? If your husband said he was leaving you because today he asked for an omelette and you didn't make it, you forgot. And your husband said, I'm gone. You can't remember to make an omelette. What else can you remember? I'm out.
Boiled egg. Boiled egg.
That one.
Do you see? Deeper than that. Hallelujah.
Because amen.
Pastors are also human beings. Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Yes.
And so it's important. There are many things, the things that are used to serve people nicely often break themselves.
Mm.
You understand that?
Wow.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And bless people for years and years and years, sometimes break themselves. Mm. Okay. So we need to love our pastors, love our leaders, appreciate their sacrifices, and make a commitment to be with them, you know, beyond just rumors.
Mm.
You know, rumors. and stories that these days everybody can make up a story. Mm-hmm. I could just take my phone right now and just type a story and I forward it to one group. Do you see? Yeah, I just forward it to one group and the group will just pass it on and everyone in the group will pass it on and pass it on. And soon they'll start sharing my own story with me. Mm-hmm. And everybody shares it as truth and as fact. But if you're aware that there is a devil out there whose job and whose aim and vision is to discredit men of God so that what they carry will not be credible. Because anybody who receives the word is capable of transforming them. Do you see? Yes. The word of God is power and it's powerful. And so if you can attack the credibility of the messenger, it affects how you receive the word.
The word, yeah.
Yes, it affects how you receive the word. You see, yes, once the way the word is received is compromised, then you know that the word itself will be compromised and it will not do its full work.
Yeah.
Because it will not be mixed with faith.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the Bible says, unto them was the gospel preached as unto us. But the gospel preached to them, the word that was preached to them, did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith in them who heard it.
Wow.
Yes, it was not mixed. But why was it not mixed with faith? Why didn't they believe it? Maybe it's because of what they knew or had. That's why the profit of the word, the benefit of the word was cut off. That's why it didn't bless the people like it should have. Because the word of God is quick, the Bible says. It's powerful. It's sharper than any edged sword. Things out of people's lives. It changes people. The word of God changes people. I am a believer in the word. I believe that if you can preach enough to someone, if you can preach a powerful word to someone, it will change them. It will change
them. That's right.
Yeah.
It will change them if they believe the things they are receiving. I mean, the greatest change of all is salvation. And how does it come? It comes by just receiving the word.
That's right.
Doesn't come by swimming in some river. It doesn't come by crawling on your knees uphill somewhere. It doesn't come by lying on a bed of nails or anything. All those things that don't bring salvation. They just bring pain for nothing. But salvation is faith in the word of God. People will be saved. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your household. And your household. You will be saved. So the word of God is really powerful. So for something that is that powerful, which the enemy knows he can't touch, then the next thing he can touch is the credibility of the messenger. Wow. Once you attack the credibility of the messenger, people's faith in what he's carrying begins to go down. And when faith goes down, then the power goes down with it. Because the Bible says in 1 John 5:4, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Even our faith.
Right.
Our faith is the victory. That's where the victory is. So where faith is reduced and diminished, then the power for victory is also reduced and diminished. And you cannot have much victory. Can I have a loud amen?
Amen. Amen.
Are you understanding the word of God?
Yes.
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 Important for us not to just believe things. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Especially as a member of this church, I want to encourage you to believe. Don't think of us pastors and bishops and so on as gods. We are not gods. Do you understand? We are just human beings. But all I'm saying is that also consider the track record. That we have been, there are some of you, we've been preaching to you for years.
Yes.
You get it? We've been teaching you the word of God for years. Some of you have been in the church Some of you, your children were born in the church. Born in the church are now old enough to play drums in their church.
That's right.
You know, and they're doing all kinds of things in the churches.
That's right.
Since
50 years to discover a crook. Hmm. You get it. We were crooks. You should have now.
Read again, Apostle.
Yes. It has taken you 10 years, 15 years, and you still don't know that we are crooks, and it takes on some website or some Facebook article or something for someone to say something, and then suddenly that's what you believe. Oh. I think there's something wrong with your belief system and the way you believe things.
Yeah.
So, please, I think I'm just sharing with you these things also from my heart. Hallelujah. Right?
Amen.
Amen.
Don't just believe what you read. That's what I'm saying. Don't just believe the things. Don't just believe what you read. Okay? Always have faith. Okay? And I believe that you will be blessed more. Number 7 is accusations by suggestions and insinuations. Suggestions and insinuations. An insinuation is an indirect suggestion that something unpleasant is true. The fact that you have not made a direct allegation does not mean you are not accusing. Sometimes these insinuations are more painful than direct allegations. Okay, so here's an example. Instead of saying Jesus did not deserve such treatment, Judas suggested that they were being wasteful. All right, that's in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 8. Let's look at that. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 8. This is Judas, right? Now, Judas wouldn't say that Jesus didn't deserve a certain kind of treatment, right? He says, but when his disciples saw, maybe you should back up a little bit so we can read what the disciples saw. There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat, right? Then the next verse, verse 8. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? Can you see that? To what purpose is this waste? This thing is a waste. Now, the other way of putting that is that this man doesn't deserve this treatment.
Yeah.
But that's harder to say. So instead of making the man the subject, you make the oil the subject.
Wow.
Yeah. So the same thing is being said, but because the oil is the subject, you know, it looks like the man is not really the issue. It's the fact that you poured it. But really, what the person is criticizing is, why would you put this on this man? Who is he? What's so special about him?
Wow.
Yeah. So you can see that not all accusations are direct. Some of them are implied in the form of insinuations. Little comments can have far-reaching effects, right? One senior pastor sent a brother on a mission to help a nearby church, branch church, become more established. This brother was excited about his new challenge. Unknown to him, the senior pastor's wife berated her husband for that move. She had said to him, you are sending away people's husbands so you can have more time with their wives.
Oh, yes.
Yes. What a shock.
What are you saying? The pastor exclaimed.
That hurts.
But his wife insisted, you are sending out this man to get him out of the way. The pastor retorted, how can you even think that way? Mm. How does your mind work? But the damage was done. Mm. The pastor was affected by this comment and decided not to send out the person who had been challenged to the core. Mm. Naturally, it is the work of God which suffers, and many things are stopped through insinuations. Mm. Yeah, that is the Jezebel spirit of controlling witchcraft. Mm. Yeah. That many things are stopped because of funny comments that are made. Little, you know, a comment, you can't take up the person on the comment. Do you see? Now, the one we just read is even more direct. But there are other insinuations. When you talk about you see, yes. And you can't say they said it because they didn't say it.
Mm-mm.
But you also know that by the grace of God, you are not a child.
Yeah.
You know, and you also know what else could this mean? Mm-hmm. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you tonight?
Yeah.
So watch out for those kinds of accusations. Okay. Mm-hmm. And husbands, don't make insinuations, you know, don't make insinuations and make it say things, you know, that have implications. Do you get it? And the same thing also with wives. You see, don't cast insinuations on good things that people are doing. Be a believer in good. Do you get it? Don't be so affected by the seen in this life. Because as for evil things, we're going to see them all the time. All the time.
Yeah.
We can't be so affected by the evil we see. Otherwise, a lot of good is also prevented.
Mm.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
I happen to know a couple of people who don't like driving because of accidents they've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand? And accidents will not stop happening. But think about think about how much you lose when you decide that you will never sit in a car. You just imagine it.
A horse.
You'll never. Someone said you ride a horse.
Yeah.
Are you going to ride a horse? Are you going to ride your little child's tricycle? Is too dangerous. It's on two wheels. You'll fall. So it has to be your little child's toy tricycle.
And you're going with the trainer's wheels.
And a helmet.
You can't live like that. You can't live with your eyes trained on the negative, always watching the negative thing that can happen. You can't do that. Are you following what I'm sharing with you?
Yeah.
The Bible says, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are good and of good report. Think along those lines. You understand? You have to train yourself to think positively so you can live a meaning. It's very stressful to have negative thoughts all the time.
Yeah.
It's very stressful. Your blood pressure is going to go up if you don't stop doing those things.
Mm-hmm.
Merci.
Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So learn to relax. Amen? Learn to relax. Learn to relax and trust God. Pray for people. Amen. And I believe God is going to bless you. Number 8 is accusations by sarcasm. Okay, sarcasm is a way of using words that are opposite to what you mean in order to be unpleasant to somebody or to make fun of them, right? So sometimes you may make a comment to someone, but you mean the exact opposite. You may say thank you, but you mean I hate you.
No.
You may say God bless you, but you are actually wishing the person evil. Right? Naaman could see the greed in the eyes of Gehazi. Right? And Naaman in 2 Kings 5 and 23, Naaman said, be content, take 2 talents. He urged him, you know. And Bishop talks about, he says, one day I sent a message to someone. My message was simple. I said, tell that guy that I said thank you. Who was loaded and mean thank you. What it actually meant was, I have taken note of the evil you have done to me. Yeah. I'm sure if you're a married person, you've heard one of these before. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. It doesn't mean thank you at all. It means you will see something. Especially when they are crying while they are saying it.
No.
Right.
No.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Number 9, accusations by silence. I'm just trying to finish it, so please bear with me. I know our time is up, but I have just 2 more.
Great. So,
number 9 is accusations by silence. Right? Many times silence speaks louder than words. The very silence of someone at a meeting can send a message. Right? Not a word may be spoken, but the silence of the committee member speaks volumes and says, I don't enjoy working with you. You're a dictator. You always want to have your own way. Right? So silence is another one. And the example is 2 Samuel 13:22, and that is Absalom. Absalom spake unto his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad. For Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced his sister Tamar. Look at it. So the one who is filled with hatred, he's the one saying nothing, good or bad. And everybody's around and thinking, oh, I like his demeanor. He's really quiet and gentle, you know. Ooh. And you see someone is even thinking, I wish he would propose to me. I like quiet men. You don't know that this guy's heart is filled with hatred. Do you understand? What is in his heart is hatred. And every hater is a murderer. Every hater is a murderer, according to the Bible. So people who hate people, whether it's because of their race or their skin color or whatever it is, the reason why you hate the person, you should watch out for all such people, because haters are murderers, according to the Bible. So you may not know that you are falling in love with the quietness of a murderer. You see, and you have
to be
careful. And that is The other day I was watching a little video about Elon Musk. You know Elon Musk? The Rocket Man.
The Rocket Man.
Rocket Man, yes. Well, now he's Rocket Man. He used to be Tesla, but now he's Rocket. So, right. But Elon Musk, I read something that he doesn't like having meetings. And he doesn't like having meetings with a lot of people. He just likes to have meetings with a few people. And whoever doesn't speak in the meeting doesn't come to the meeting again. Doesn't get it.
Wow.
If you want. Think about it. You're having a meeting. You've been called into the meeting. And often you're called into a meeting because of what you can contribute. If throughout the meeting You contribute nothing. You say nothing. You just sit and stare. It means the meeting without you would have yielded the same outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to. Hallelujah. So learn to be invited into a meeting. By all means, try to say something, even if what you're going to say has been said already. And you should do this. Those of you who go to work and you don't say anything in meetings, you don't contribute anything, it's affecting you. You may be surprised that you're not being promoted because of your silence.
Wow.
Yes, you may have a naturally quiet disposition, but you're taking that too far. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't take natural things everywhere. You must not assume that because it's natural, it's wanted everywhere. You know, you're like some people when they're selling things, once it's natural, they think it's good.
Organic.
Organic.
This, my behavior is all natural, it's organic. Organic quietness to work, you may not promote it. You get it? Your organic silence is not going to work. You need to learn to break out of that. You need to learn to break out of that. And many of you are filled with bright ideas. Mm-hmm. Just the fear of expressing them. The proof of it is, do you notice how often sometimes somebody says something that was occurring to you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes somebody will say something and you thought about it. This is exactly what you was on your mind. Mm-hmm. It means you as as intelligent as anybody else in the meeting, yeah. Except that you have intelligence bridled by fear, mm-hmm. and they have intelligence released. Mm-hmm. And your fear is going to keep you from being promoted. It will keep you from rising up. It will keep you from becoming great. Mm-hmm. So learn not to be afraid. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us power, love, and a sound mind. Right? Mm-hmm. That power is also boldness. Boldness. Mm-hmm. So learn to speak your mind. Amen. If it's on your mind, learn to speak it. And don't allow yourself to be intimidated. Amen.
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 Number 10 is accusation. Continuous dropping, right? Accusations by continuous dropping. Continuous dropping is continuous complaining that comes in little bits. Do you see? Proverbs 27:15, a continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike.
Mm.
Wow. This is the Bible. It says, a continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Right? Sometimes women feel then they are being harsh. Little hints about the same issue given as frequently as possible seem less comfortable. The greatest flood that I ever saw in my city did not come from a powerful tropical rainstorm, but from a continuous for the people who pester you with a continuous dropping. Mm. Continuous dropping. Continuous dropping. You know, over here in California, doesn't rain much, but when it rains, we experience continuous dropping.
Mm. Yeah.
It's not very hard rain, but it's just rain that will not stop.
Stop.
And it rains, sometimes it can rain from Monday through to Friday. The whole day that's raining. Wow. And the Bible says that continuous dropping in a very rainy day and expiring, says the two are alike. Yes. Right, it's the Bible. I'm not saying this, it's the Bible. So don't look at me that way. I'm glad you turned your video off. Number 11 is accusations by a contentious woman, right? A contentious woman is an ill-natured, cantankerous person. This kind of woman will never agree, never give up, never give in, never say die, never flow, never yield, never bend, never say sorry, never back down, never concede defeat, never stop talking, never stop quarreling, never stop arguing, never stop disagreeing, and never stop.
Wow.
You don't want this person in your house or even as your friend. Accusatory women are contentious women who drive you away. Drive you away from your presence. You know, it is important for you to respect the efforts that someone makes to be with you. Amen. Can I have an amen, ladies?
Amen.
That you respect the
amen.
Someone needs to be with you. Don't try to turn every little attention that is given you into a matter resolving moment. You see, a lot of things can be allowed to just slide just for the sake of preserving the atmosphere. Are you following what I'm saying? So yeah. Preserve the atmosphere. Let that be more precious, because when the atmosphere is flowing, more things can be said. It's like the road. When the traffic is flowing, you know, more vehicles can pass. Mm-hmm. You see? But when you block the road with one issue, there may be other major and more important issues stuck in the truck.
On their back.
Wow.
You get it? Yes. There may be truckloads of goodness, truckloads of love, truckloads of affection. They are all stuck in the traffic because you've chosen to block the road with one little Mazda Miata, which is a small vehicle. that blocking the road, and because of that, the trucks can't come through.
Wow. You're teaching.
When we close the service, go and Google Mazda Miata. Go and find out which you understand what I'm saying. A small, small, tiny vehicle like that, and that vehicle is being used to block the road. You see, and because of that small car, truckloads of happiness are eluding you, because you've made a big thing out of this small thing, and it's never going away. Are you here? Well, someone says they found one. You can show it to them what it is. Okay.
Oh. I can lift it.
It even has eyes.
That can blink.
It blinks. This kind of guy blinks. You see, meanwhile, there's a semi, a whole, can you find a semi, a tractor trailer, like an 18-wheeler, you know, full of goodies, but it's stuck in the traffic because this little thing is blocking the road. You see, look at this one, the red one on the right. Yes. Yeah. Just show it to them.
Whoa.
We're just having church. Can you see it? This one. Look at this one. See? This big thing cannot come your way because of that little thing that blocked the road. Hallelujah. Are you understanding?
Amen.
Look at the verse. Proverbs 21 and verse 19. Proverbs 21 and verse 19, it says, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. Wow.
Wow.
This is serious, right? Proverbs 20 and verse 19. Are you putting that verse up? Just put it up. We're almost finished. Just last one and we're done. Okay. Proverbs 19. It says, it is better to dwell in the wilderness. You see? Yeah. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. Right? So if you're an angry woman, you need to pray about this anger. Flow service is the recommendation.
Yeah.
You need to come to the
floor. Yeah.
Away from you. You see, that's what the Bible is saying. It says it's better. They are better off in the bush than with you at home. So you brothers who are in a habit of stirring up anger, you should know that one of these days, you will not have a place to stay. The wilderness could be a better home for you than the house you built, right? Now, look at verse 9 of the same chapter, Proverbs 21 and verse 9 of the same chapter. This one is a little different, but it's the same idea. It says, it is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop.
Rooftop.
Easy. To dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house.
Wow.
You see the thing? Yes. It's better to dwell in the corner of the housetop. So you probably struggling for space with the spiders, you know, because of who is in the house. Okay. So we must be careful. John Wesley wrote to his wife. John Wesley is the founder of the Methodist Church, right? The great Methodist Church. John Wesley, who founded it, he wrote a letter to his wife and said, I dislike not being safe in my own house.
Oh.
Mm. I like not being safe in my own house. I don't feel happy in my own house. I don't want a wife is an atmosphere creator. Do you understand? Mm. He's an atmosphere creator. And it's someone to be enjoyed. Your company enjoyed.
To be enjoyed.
Be fiery. Do you get it? Mm. It does not feel the same way at home as it used to feel when we were in sixth grade and have to deal with a headmistress. Mm. You see, it must not feel the same way at home as back then. Hallelujah. So learn not to be an accusing wife or an accusing scripture. You know, I didn't write these verses. It's from the Bible. Take someone on, you have to take Bishop on, not me. I'm reading. I'm third degree responsibility for this. Right. But, amen.
Amen.
An exclusive amen from the ladies.
Amen.
Amen.
Only two ladies said amen.
Amen.
All right.
Amen, Apostle.
Amen.
The last one is accusations by redescribing events. It is a clever trick to redescribe and represent. It is easy to retell a story in a way that darkens the event and makes things look negative. All you have to do is to highlight some areas and leave out some. That's depending on what your interest is. This is what was done to Jesus. They re-presented his statements until he looked like a suicide bomber and a anarchist. Yes. Mark 14:58. I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. This is Mark 14 and verse 58. This is Jesus Christ. And then also in Luke 23 and verse 2, they accused him. They began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king." Right? This is people reporting the story. Jesus told some people, you know, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's, because someone had come to ask him if it was right to pay tribute to Caesar. And then he answered, he said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. And that he says we shouldn't pay tribute to Caesar. He says we shouldn't pay tribute to Caesar. How can you make a dross? But people do that. And the other verse, Mark 14:58, said that I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will another made without hands. Now, Jesus said this, but Jesus didn't mean down that physical temple. And you see that many times people misrepresent what has been said due to their own lack of understanding, their own lack of intelligence, their own lack of understanding. Do you see? Yeah. Same reason why I don't see why people get offended when somebody says Black Lives Matter. I don't understand it. Why does that offend anybody? You know, but you find that people interpret that to mean that it means no other lives matter. How can you draw such a conclusion?
Let's see.
Such a thing. You see what I'm saying? So anyway, I am just saying that we must be careful not to read. Okay, we must be careful not to re-describe the things. We must be careful not to repeat things in such a way that the wrong emphasized so that you can achieve an aim of sending a certain kind of message. Because many times when the full thing is played out, find out that something else was being said, right? Like that little video of the little children who were running, that was running on TV. They said that a black kid was running away from a white kid, a racist kid. You know, when it was just two kids playing. You just take a segment and you show just that. You know, you go to church and the pastor says something. A pastor who has been preaching to his congregation for years, who has history with them. And then you just show up one day, on your first day, and you take a segment of his sermon and you take a small part of it and you take that one sentence and you represent his entire ministry and his entire existence with just that one sentence, which even you didn't understand. No.
No.
That is wrong. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You do that, you're playing into the hands of the accuser of the brethren, but through this message, God is delivering us from becoming accusers.
Amen.
We will never work for Satan anymore.
Amen.
We will never work even one day for the accuser of the brethren. Say it.
Amen.
We will never work for Satan. Say it with me.
We will never work for Satan.
Say it again. I will never work for Satan.
I will never work for Satan.
Hallelujah. Yes. He will never get you to work for him. You will not join the accuser of the brethren. You'll be a supporter of good things and bless the work of the Lord. Can I have an amen? Amen. Bow your head.
Amen.
May everybody bow your heads with me and let us pray. Pray that God would deliver you from an accuser of your spouse, an accuser of your parents, an accuser of your children, an accuser of your pastors, an accuser of your church, an accuser of your You say you don't want to be Jesus Christ. You will not be in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh God, that deliver us from this wickedness. We do not want to be accusers. We do not want to be used as accusers in the name of May sure In the name of Jesus, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, Mosheke Please come on, pray for yourself, everybody. Pray for yourself and say, Lord, deliver me from this evil. Deliver me from this evil in the name of Jesus Christ. Help me not to destroy my life. Help me not to destroy my church. Help me not to destroy my pastor. In Jesus' name, oh God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Come on, pray and say, Lord, 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 deliver me. deliver me from being an accuser of good things, and an accuser of good people, an accuser of servants of good Christian people, an accuser of my spouse, an accuser of my family. In the name of Jesus, deliver me from such an evil. I don't want to work for Satan. I will not work for Satan. I will not work for Satan. I will not work for Satan. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Well, as we close this service tonight, maybe you're watching us and you know in your heart that you're not saved. You're not born again. Tonight, you don't need to go to bed without being saved. Tonight is a good time to be saved. There's so much happening in our world today. Everything pointing to something imminent. I tell you that that imminent thing is the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We all need to be ready and we all need to be prepared. You can't keep postponing the day of salvation. Tonight is a good day to be saved. So I want you to say this prayer with me and everybody else. I want you to join us as we say this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus.
Tonight I receive you.
Tonight I receive you.
As my Lord and my Savior.
As my Lord and my Savior.
Please come.
Please come into my life.
Let your blood wash me.
Let your blood wash me.
Let your blood cleanse me.
Let your blood cleanse me.
And make me a child of God.
And make me a child of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For hearing my prayer. And everybody says, Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.